Book 11. The Argument. The Son of God presents to his Father the prayers of our first parents, now repenting, and intercedes for them. God accepts them, but declares that they must no longer abide in paradise, sends Michael with a band of cherubim to dispossess them, but first to reveal to Adam future things. Michael's coming down. Adam shows to Eve certain ominous signs. He discerns Michael's approach, goes out to meet him. The angel denounces their departure. Eve's lamentation. Adam pleads, but submits. The angel leads him up to a high hill, sets before him in vision what shall happen till the flood. Thus they in lowliest plight repentant stood praying, for from the mercy seat above prevenient grace descending had removed the stony from their hearts, and made new flesh regenerate grow instead, that sighs now breathed unutterable, which the spirit of prayer inspired, and winged for heaven with speedier flight than loudest oratory. Yet their port not of mean suitors, nor important less seemed their petition, than when the ancient pair in fables old, less ancient yet than these, Deucalion and chaste Pyrrha, to restore the race of mankind drowned, before the shrine of Themis stood devout. To heaven their prayers flew up, nor missed the way by envious winds blown vagabond or frustrate. In they passed, dimensionless, through heavenly doors, then clad with incense, where the golden altar fumed. By their great intercessor came in sight before the Father's throne, them the glad Son presenting, thus to intercede began. See, Father, what first fruits on earth are sprung from thy implanted grace in man, these sighs and prayers, which in this golden censer, mixed with incense, I thy priest before thee bring, fruits of more pleasing savour from thy seed, sown with contrition in his heart, than those which his own hand, manuring all the trees of paradise, could have produced, ere fallen from innocence. Now therefore bend thine ear to supplication. Hear his sighs, though mute, unskilful with what words to pray. Let me interpret for him, me his advocate and propitiation, all his works on me, good or not good, engraft. My merit those shall perfect, and for these my death shall pay. Accept me, and in me from these receive the smell of peace toward mankind. Let him live before thee reconciled, at least his days numbered, though sad till death, his doom, which I to mitigate thus plead, not to reverse, to better life shall yield him, where with me all my redeemed may dwell in joy and bliss, made one with me as I with thee am one. To whom the Father, without cloud, serene, all thy request for man accepted, Son, obtain, all thy request was my decree, but longer in that paradise to dwell the law I gave to nature him forbids. Those pure immortal elements that know no gross, no unharmonious mixture foul, eject him tainted now, and purge him off as a distemper, gross to air as gross, and mortal food as may dispose him best for dissolution wrought by sin, that first distempered all things, and of incorrupt corrupted. I at first with two fair gifts created him endowed, with happiness and immortality, that fondly lost, this other served but to eternize woe, till I provided death, so death becomes his final remedy, and after life tried in sharp tribulation, and refined by faith and faithful works to second life, waked in the renovation of the just, resigns him up with heaven and earth renewed. But let us call to synod all the blessed through heaven's wide bounds, from them I will not hide my judgments, how with mankind I proceed, as how with peccant angels late they saw, and in their state, though firm, stood more confirmed. He ended, and the Son gave signal high to the bright minister that watched. He blew his trumpet, heard in Oreb since, perhaps, when God descended, and perhaps once more to sound at general doom. The angelic blast filled all the regions. From their blissful bowers of amaranthine shade, fountain or spring, by the waters of life, where'er they sat in fellowships of joy, the sons of light hasted, resorting to the summons high, and took their seats, till from his throne supreme the Almighty thus pronounced his sovereign will. O sons, Like one of us, man is become to know both good and evil, since his taste of that defended fruit. But let him boast his knowledge of good lost and evil got. Happier had it sufficed him to have known good by itself and evil not at all. He sorrows now, repents, and prays contrite. My motions in him, longer than they move, his heart, I know, how variable and vain self left. Lest therefore his now bolder hand reach also of the tree of life, and eat and live for ever, dream at least to live for ever, to remove him, I decree, and send him from the garden forth to till the ground whence he was taken, fitter soil. Michael, this my behest have thou in charge. Take to thee from among the cherubim thy choice of flaming warriors, lest the fiend, or in behalf of man, or to invade vacant possession, some new trouble raise. Haste thee, and from the paradise of God without remorse drive out the sinful pair, from hallowed ground the unholy, and announce to them and to their progeny from thence perpetual banishment. Yet lest they faint at the sad sentence rigorously urged, for I behold them softened and with tears bewailing their excess, all terror hide. If patiently thy bidding they obey, dismiss them not disconsolate. Reveal to Adam what shall come in future days, as I shall thee enlighten. Intermix my covenant in the woman's seed renewed, so send them forth, those sorrowing, yet in peace. And on the east side of the garden place, where entrance up from Eden easiest climbs, cherubic watch, and of a sword the flame wide waving, all approach far off to fright, and guard all passage to the tree of life, lest paradise a receptacle prove to spirits foul, and all my trees their prey, with whose stolen fruit man once more to delude. He ceased, and the archangel power prepared for swift descent, with him the cohort bright of watchful cherubim. Four faces each had, like a double Janus, all their shape spangled with eyes more numerous than those of Argus, and more wakeful than to drowse, charmed with Arcadian pipe, the pastoral reed of Hermes, or his opiate rod. Meanwhile, to re-salute the world with sacred light, Leucothea waked, and with fresh dews embalmed the earth, when Adam and first matron Eve had ended now their orisons, and found strength added from above, new hope to spring out of despair, joy but with fear yet linked, which thus to Eve his welcome words renewed. Eve, easily may faith admit that all the good which we enjoy from heaven descends, but that from us aught should ascend to heaven so prevalent as to concern the mind of God high blessed, or to incline his will, hard to belief may seem, yet this will prayer, or one short sigh of human breath, upborne even to the seat of God. For since I sought by prayer the offended deity to appease, kneeled and before him humbled all my heart, methought I saw him placable and mild, bending his ear. Persuasion in me grew that I was heard with favour. Peace returned home to my breast, and to my memory his promise, that thy seed shall bruise our foe, which then not minded in dismay, yet now assures me that the bitterness of death is past, and we shall live. Whence hail to thee, Eve, rightly called, mother of all mankind, mother of all things living, since by thee man is to live, and all things live for man. To whom thus Eve with sad demeanour meek, ill worthy I such title should belong to me, transgressor, who for thee ordained a help became thy snare. To me reproach rather belongs, distrust, and all dispraise, but infinite in pardon was my judge, that I who first brought death on all am graced the source of life. Next favourable thou, who highly thus to entitle me vouchsafest, far other name deserving. But the field to labour calls us now with sweat imposed, though after sleepless night, for see the morn, all unconcerned with our unrest, begins her rosy progress smiling. Let us forth, I never from thy side henceforth to stray, where'er our day's work lies, though now enjoined laborious, till day droop. While here we dwell what can be toilsome in these pleasant walks, here let us live, though in fallen state, content. So spake, so wished much humbled Eve, but fate subscribed not. Nature first gave signs, impressed on bird, beast, air, air suddenly eclipsed after short blush of morn. Nigh in her sight the bird of Jove stooped from his airy tower, two birds of gayest plume before him drove. Down from a hill the beast that reigns in woods, first hunter, then pursued a gentler brace, goodliest of all the forest, hart and hind. Direct to the eastern gate was bent their flight. Adam observed, and with his eye the chase pursuing, not unmoved, to Eve thus spake. O Eve, some further change awaits us nigh, which heaven by these mute signs in nature shows forerunners of his purpose, or to warn us haply too secure of our discharge from penalty, because from death released some days. How long, and what till then our life, who knows, or more than this, that we are dust, and thither must return and be no more? Why else this double object in our sight of flight pursued in the air and o'er the ground, one way the selfsame hour? Why in the east darkness ere day's mid-course, and morning light more orient in yon western cloud, that draws o'er the blue firmament a radiant white and slow descends, with something heavenly fraught? He erred not, for by this the heavenly bands, down from a sky of jasper, lighted now in paradise, and on a hill made alt, a glorious apparition, had not doubt, and carnal fear that day dimmed Adam's eye. Not that more glorious when the angels met Jacob in Mahanaim, where he saw the field pavilioned with his guardians bright, nor that which on the flaming mount appeared in Dothan, covered with a camp of fire, against the Syrian king, who to surprise one man, assassin-like, had levied war, war unproclaimed. The princely hierarch in their bright stand there left his powers to seize possession of the garden. He alone, to find where Adam sheltered, took his way, not unperceived of Adam, who to Eve, while the great visitant approached, thus spake. Eve, now expect great tidings, which perhaps of us will soon determine or impose new laws to be observed. For I descry from yonder blazing cloud that veils the hill one of the heavenly host, and by his gait none of the meanest, some great potentate or of the thrones above, such majesty invests him coming. Yet not terrible, that I should fear, nor sociably mild, as Raphael that I should much confide, but solemn and sublime, whom not to offend, with reverence I must meet, and thou retire. He ended, and the archangel soon drew nigh, not in his shape celestial, but as man, clad to meet man. Over his lucid arms a military vest of purple flowed livelier than Melibaean or the grain of Sarah worn by kings and heroes old in times of truce. Iris had dipped the woof. His starry helm unbuckled showed him prime in manhood, where youth ended. By his side, as in a glistering zodiac, hung the sword, Satan's dire dread, and in his hand the spear. Adam bowed low, he kingly from his state inclined not, but his coming thus declared. Adam, heaven's high behest no preface needs. Sufficient that thy prayers are heard, and death, then due by sentence when thou didst transgress, defeated of his seizure many days given thee of grace, wherein thou mayst repent, and one bad act with many deeds well done mayst cover. Well may then thy Lord appeased redeem thee quite from death's rapacious claim. But longer in this paradise to dwell permits not. To remove thee I am come, and send thee from the garden forth to till the ground whence thou wast taken, fitter soil. He added not, for Adam at the news heart struck with chilling gripe of sorrow stood, that all his senses bound. Eve, who unseen yet all had heard, with audible lament discovered soon the place of her retire. O unexpected stroke, worse than of death, must I thus leave thee, paradise, thus leave thee native soil, these happy walks and shades, fit haunt of gods, where I had hoped to spend, quiet though sad, the respite of that day that must be mortal to us both. O flowers that never will in other climate grow, my early visitation and my last at even, which I bred up with tender hand from the first opening bud, and gave ye names, who now shall rear ye to the sun, or rank your tribes, and water from the ambrosial fount? Thee lastly nuptial bower, by me adorned with what to sight or smell was sweet, from thee how shall I part, and whither wander down into a lower world, to this obscure and wild, how shall we breathe in other air less pure, accustomed to immortal fruits? Whom thus the angel interrupted mild, lament not, Eve, but patiently resign what justly thou hast lost, nor set thy heart thus overfond on that which is not thine. Thy going is not lonely, With thee goes thy husband, him to follow thou art bound. Where he abides, think there thy native soil. Adam by this from the cold sudden damp recovering, and his scattered spirits returned, to Michael thus his humble words addressed. Celestial, whether among the thrones, or named of them the highest, for such of shape may seem prince above princes, gently hast thou told thy message, which might else in telling wound, and in performing end us. What besides of sorrow and dejection and despair our frailty can sustain, thy tidings bring, departure from this happy place, our sweet recess, and only consolation left familiar to our eyes, all places else inhospitable appear and desolate, not knowing us nor known, and if by prayer incessant I could hope to change the will of him who all things can, I would not cease to weary him with my assiduous cries. But prayer against his absolute decree no more avails than breath against the wind, blown stifling back on him that breathes it forth. Therefore to his great bidding I submit. This most afflicts me, that departing hence as from his face I shall be hid, deprived his blessed countenance. Here I could frequent with worship place by place where he vouchsafed presence divine, and to my sons relate. On this mount he appeared, under this tree stood visible, among these pines his voice I heard, here with him at this fountain talked. So many grateful altars I would rear of grassy turf, and pile up every stone of lustre from the brook, in memory or monument to ages, and thereon offer sweet-smelling gums and fruits and flowers. In yonder nether world where shall I seek his bright appearances, or footstep trace? For though I fled him angry, yet recalled to life prolonged and promised race, I now gladly behold, though but his utmost skirts of glory, and far off his steps adore. To whom thus Michael with regard benign, Adam, thou knowest heaven his, and all the earth, not this rock only. His omnipresence fills land, sea, and air, and every kind that lives, fomented by his virtual power and warmed. All the earth he gave thee to possess and rule, no despicable gift. Surmise not then his presence to these narrow bounds confined of paradise or Eden. This had been perhaps thy capital seat, from whence had spread all generations, and had hither come from all the ends of the earth to celebrate and reverence thee their great progenitor. But this pre-eminence thou hast lost, brought down to dwell on even ground now with thy sons. Yet doubt not, but in valley and in plain God is as here, and will be found alike present, and of his presence many a sign still following thee, still compassing thee round with goodness and paternal love, his face express, and of his steps the track divine, which that thou mayst believe and be confirmed ere thou from hence depart, know I am sent to show thee what shall come in future days to thee and to thy offspring. Good with bad expect to hear, supernal grace contending with sinfulness of men, thereby to learn true patience, and to temper joy with fear and pious sorrow, equally inured by moderation, either state to bear, prosperous or adverse, so shalt thou lead safest thy life, and best prepared endure thy mortal passage when it comes. Ascend this hill, let Eve, for I have drenched her eyes, here sleep below while thou to foresight wakest, as once thou slept, while she to life was formed. To whom thus Adam gratefully replied, Ascend, I follow thee, safe guide, the path thou lead'st me, and to the hand of heaven submit, however chastening, to the evil turn my obvious breast, arming to overcome by suffering, and earn rest from labour won, if so I may attain. So both ascend in the visions of God. It was a hill of paradise, the highest, from whose top the hemisphere of earth in clearest ken stretched out to the amplest reach of prospect lay. Not higher that hill, nor wider looking round, whereon for different cause the tempter set our second Adam in the wilderness, to show him all earth's kingdoms and their glory. His eye might there command wherever stood city of old or modern fame, the seat of mightiest empire, from the destined walls of Cambalu, seat of Cathayan, Khan, and Samarkand, by Oxus, Temir's throne, to Paquin of Sanian kings, and thence to Agra and Lahore of great Mogul, down to the golden Chersonese, or where the Persian in Ekbatan sat, or since in Hispahan, or where the Russian Tsar in Moscow, or the Sultan in Byzance, Turkestan born. nor could his eye not ken the empire of Negus, to his utmost port, Ekoko, and the less maritime kings Mombasa, and Quiloa, and Melind, and Sofala, thought Ophir, to the realm of Congo, and Angola farthest south, or thence from Niger flood to Atlas mount, the kingdoms of Almansor, Fez, and Sus, Morocco, and Algiers, and Tremesan. On Europe thence, and where Rome was to sway the world, in spirit perhaps he also saw rich Mexico, the seat of Montezum, and Cuzco in Peru, the richer seat of Atabalipa, and yet unspoiled Guyana, whose great city Geryon's sons call El Dorado. But to nobler sights Michael from Adam's eyes the film removed, which that false fruit that promised clearer sight had bred, then purged with euphrasy and rue the visual nerve, for he had much to see, and from the well of life three drops instilled. So deep the power of these ingredients pierced, even to the inmost seat of mental sight, that Adam, now enforced to close his eyes, sunk down, and all his spirits became entranced. But him the gentle angel by the hand soon raised, and his attention thus recalled. Adam, now ope thine eyes, and first behold the effects which thy original crime hath wrought in some to spring from thee, who never touched the accepted tree, nor with the snake conspired, nor sinned thy sin, yet from that sin derive corruption to bring forth more violent deeds. His eyes he opened, and beheld a field, part arable and tilth, whereon were sheaves new reaped, the other part sheep walks and folds. In the midst an altar as the landmark stood, rustic, of grassy sward. Thither anon a sweaty reaper from his tillage brought first fruits, the green ear and the yellow sheaf, unculled as came to hand. A shepherd next, more meek, came with the firstlings of his flock, choicest and best, then sacrificing, laid the innards and their fat, with incense strewed on the cleft wood, and all due rites performed. His offering soon propitious fire from heaven consumed with nimble grace and grateful steam. The others not, for his was not sincere, whereat he inly raged, and as they talked, smote him into the midriff with a stone that beat out life. He fell, and deadly pale groaned out his soul with gushing blood effused. Much at that sight was Adam in his heart dismayed, and thus in haste to the angel cried, O teacher, some great mischief hath befallen to that meek man who well had sacrificed. Is piety thus and pure devotion paid? To whom Michael thus, he also moved, replied, These to our brethren, Adam, and to come out of thy loins. The unjust the just hath slain, for envy that his brother's offering found from heaven acceptance. But the bloody fact will be avenged, and the other's faith approved, lose no reward, though here thou seest him die, rolling in dust and gore. To which our sire, Alas, both for the deed and for the cause, but have I now seen death? Is this the way I must return to native dust? O sight of terror, foul and ugly to behold, horrid to think, how horrible to feel! To whom thus, Michael, Death thou hast seen in his first shape on man, but many shapes of death, and many other ways that lead to his grim cave, all dismal, yet to sense more terrible at the entrance than within. Some, as thou sawest, by violent stroke shall die, by fire, flood, famine, by intemperance more in meats and drinks, which on the earth shall bring diseases dire, of which a monstrous crew before thee shall appear, that thou mayst know what misery the inabstinence of Eve shall bring on men. Immediately a place before his eyes appeared, sad, noisome, dark, a lazar house, it seemed, wherein were laid numbers of all diseased, all maladies of ghastly spasm or racking torture, qualms of heart-sick agony, all feverous kinds, convulsions, epilepsies, fierce catarrhs, intestine stone and ulcer, colic pangs, demoniac frenzy, moping melancholy and moonstruck madness, pining atrophy, marasmus and wide-wasting pestilence, dropsies and asthmas and joint-racking rheums. Dire was the tossing, deep the groans, despair tended the sick busiest from couch to couch, and over them triumphant death his dart shook, but delayed to strike, though oft invoked with vows as their chief good and final hope. Sight so deform what heart of rock could long dry-eyed behold. Adam could not, but wept, though not of woman born. Compassion quelled his best of man, and gave him up to tears a space, till firmer thoughts restrained excess, and scarce recovering words his plaint renewed. O miserable mankind, to what fall degraded, to what wretched state reserved! Better end here unborn. Why is life given to be thus wrested from us? Rather, why obtruded on us thus? Who, if we knew what we receive, would either not accept life offered, or soon beg to lay it down, glad to be so dismissed in peace? Can thus the image of God in man, created once so goodly and erect, though faulty since, to such unsightly sufferings be debased under inhuman pains? Why should not man, retaining still divine similitude in part, from such deformities be freed, and for his Maker's image's sake exempt? Their Maker's image, answered Michael, then forsook them, when themselves they vilified to serve ungoverned appetite, and took his image whom they served, a brutish vice, inductive mainly to the sin of Eve. Therefore so abject is their punishment, disfiguring not God's likeness but their own, or if his likeness, by themselves defaced, while they pervert pure nature's healthful rules to loathsome sickness, worthily, since they God's image did not reverence in themselves. I yield it just, said Adam, and submit. But is there yet no other way besides these painful passages, how we may come to death and mix with our connatural dust? There is, said Michael, if thou well observe the rule of not too much, by temperance taught in what thou eatst and drink'st, seeking from thence due nourishment, not gluttonous delight, till many years over thy head return, so mayst thou live, till like ripe fruit thou drop into thy mother's lap, or be with ease gathered, not harshly plucked, for death mature. This is old age. But then thou must outlive thy youth, thy strength, thy beauty, which will change to withered, weak, and grey. Thy senses then obtuse, all taste of pleasure must forego, to what thou hast, and for the air of youth, hopeful and cheerful, in thy blood will reign a melancholy damp of cold and dry, to weigh thy spirits down, and last consume the balm of life. To whom our ancestor? Henceforth I fly not death, nor would prolong life much, bent rather how I may be quit fairest and easiest of this cumbrous charge, which I must keep till my appointed day of rendering up, and patiently attend my dissolution. Michael replied, Nor love thy life, nor hate, but what thou livest, live well, how long or short permit to heaven. And now prepare thee for another sight. He looked and saw a spacious plain whereon were tents of various hue. By some were herds of cattle grazing, others whence the sound of instruments that made melodious chime was heard, of harp and organ, and who moved their stops and chords was seen, his volant touch instinct through all proportions low and high, fled and pursued transverse the resonant fugue. In other part stood one who at the forge, labouring, two massy clods of iron and brass had melted, whether found where casual fire had wasted woods on mountain or in vale, down to the veins of earth, thence gliding hot to some cave's mouth, or whether washed by stream from underground. The liquid ore he drained into fit moulds prepared, from which he formed first his own tools, then what might else be wrought, fusile or graven in metal. After these, but on the hither side a different sort, from the high neighbouring hills which was their seat, down to the plain descended, by their guise just men they seemed, and all their study bent to worship God aright, and know his works not hid, nor those things last which might preserve freedom and peace to men. They on the plain long had not walked, when from the tents behold a bevy of fair women, richly gay in gems and wanton dress. To the harp they sung soft amorous ditties, and in dance came on. The men, though grave, eyed them, and let their eyes rove without rein, till in the amorous net fast caught they liked, and each his liking chose, and now of love they treat till the evening star love's harbinger appeared. Then all in heat they light the nuptial torch, and bid invoke Hymen, then first to marriage rites invoked. With feast and music all the tents resound. Such happy interview, and fair event of love and youth not lost, songs, garlands, flowers, and charming symphonies attached the heart of Adam, soon inclined to admit delight, the bent of nature, which he thus expressed, True opener of mine eyes, prime angel blessed, Much better seems this vision, and more hope of peaceful days portends than those two past. Those were of hate and death, or pain much worse. Here nature seems fulfilled in all her ends. To whom thus Michael, judge not what is best by pleasure, though to nature seeming meet, created as thou art to nobler end, holy and pure, conformity divine. Those tents thou sawst so pleasant were the tents of wickedness, wherein shall dwell his race who slew his brother. Studious they appear of arts that polish life, inventors rare, unmindful of their maker, though his spirit taught them, but they his gifts acknowledged none. Yet they a beauteous offspring shall beget, for that fair female troop thou sawst, that seemed of goddesses, so blithe, so smooth, so gay, yet empty of all good wherein consists woman's domestic honour and chief praise, bred only and completed to the taste of lustful appetents, to sing, to dance, to dress and troll the tongue and roll the eye. To these that sober race of men, whose lives religious titled them the sons of God, shall yield up all their virtue, all their fame, ignobly, to the trains and to the smiles of these fair atheists, and now swim in joy, ere long to swim at large, and laugh, for which the world ere long a world of tears must weep. To whom thus Adam, of short joy bereft, O pity and shame, that they who to live well entered so fair should turn aside to tread paths indirect, or in the midway faint. But still I see the tenor of man's woe holds on the same from woman to begin. From man's effeminate slackness it begins, said the angel, who should better hold his place by wisdom, and superior gifts received. But now prepare thee for another scene. He looked and saw wide territory spread before him, towns and rural works between, cities of men with lofty gates and towers, concourse in arms, fierce faces threatening war, giants of mighty bone and bold emprise, part wield their arms, part curb the foaming steed, single or in array of battle ranged both horse and foot, nor idly mustering stood. One way a band select from forage drives a herd of beeves, fair oxen and fair kine, from a fat meadow-ground, or fleecy flock, ewes and their bleating lambs over the plain, their booty. Scarce with life the shepherds fly, but call in aid, which makes a bloody fray. With cruel tournament the squadrons join, where cattle pastured late now scattered lies, with carcasses and arms the ensanguined field deserted. Others to a city strong lay siege, encamped, by battery scale and mine assaulting, others from the wall defend with dart and javelin, stones and sulphurous fire, on each hand slaughter and gigantic deeds. In other part the sceptred heralds call to council in the city gates, anon grey-headed men and grave, with warriors mixed, assemble, and harangues are heard, but soon in factious opposition, till at last of middle age one rising, eminent in wise deport, spake much of right and wrong, of justice, of religion, truth, and peace, and judgment from above. Him old and young exploded, and had seized with violent hands, had not a cloud descending snatched him hence unseen amid the throng. So violence proceeded, and oppression, and sword law through all the plain, and refuge none was found. Adam was all in tears, and to his guide lamenting turned full sad. Oh, what are these, death's ministers, not men, who thus deal death inhumanly to men, and multiply 10,000-fold the sin of him who slew his brother? For of whom such massacre make they but of their brethren, men of men? But who was that just man whom had not heaven rescued, had in his righteousness been lost? To whom thus, Michael, these are the product of those ill-mated marriages thou sawst, where good with bad were matched, who of themselves abhor to join, and by imprudence mixed, produce prodigious births of body or mind. Such were these giants, men of high renown, for in those days might only shall be admired, and valour and heroic virtue called, to overcome in battle and subdue nations, and bring home spoils with infinite manslaughter, shall be held the highest pitch of human glory, and for glory done of triumph, to be styled great conquerors, patrons of mankind, gods and sons of gods, destroyers rightly are called, and plagues of men. Thus fame shall be achieved, renown on earth, and what most merits fame in silence hid. But he the seventh from thee, whom thou beheldst the only righteous in the world perverse, and therefore hated, therefore so beset with foes for daring single to be just, and utter odious truth, that God would come to judge them with his saints, him the Most High, wrapped in a balmy cloud with winged steeds, did, as thou sawst, receive, to walk with God high in salvation and the climes of bliss, exempt from death, to show thee what reward awaits the good, the rest what punishment, which now direct thine eyes and soon behold. He looked, and saw the face of things quite changed. The brazen throat of war had ceased to roar. All now was turned to jollity and game, to luxury and riot, feast and dance, marrying or prostituting as befell, rape or adultery, where passing fair allured them, thence from cups to civil broils. At length a reverend sire among them came, and of their doings great dislike declared, and testified against their ways. He oft frequented their assemblies where so met, triumphs or festivals, and to them preached conversion and repentance, as to souls in prison under judgments imminent, but all in vain, which when he saw he ceased contending, and removed his tents far off. Then from the mountain hewing timber tall, began to build a vessel of huge bulk, measured by cubit, length and breadth and height, smeared round with pitch, and in the side a door contrived, and of provisions laid in large for man and beast, when lo, a wonder strange! Of every beast and bird and insect small came sevens and pairs, and entered in, as taught their order, last the sire and his three sons with their four wives, and God made fast the door. Meanwhile the south wind rose, and with black wings wide hovering, all the clouds together drove from under heaven, the hills to their supply vapour, and exhalation dusk and moist, sent up amain. And now the thickened sky like a dark ceiling stood, down rushed the rain impetuous, and continued till the earth no more was seen. The floating vessel swam uplifted, and secure with beaked prow rode tilting o'er the waves, all dwellings else flood overwhelmed, and them with all their pomp deep under water rolled, sea-covered sea, sea without shore, and in their palaces where luxury late reigned, sea-monsters whelped and stabled. Of mankind so numerous, late all left, in one small bottom swum embarked. How didst thou grieve then, Adam, to behold the end of all thy offspring? End so sad, depopulation, thee another flood of tears and sorrow, a flood thee also drowned, and sunk thee as thy sons, till gently reared by the angel on thy feet thou stoodst at last, though comfortless, as when a father mourns his children, all in view destroyed at once, and scarce to the angel utteredst thus thy plaint. O visions ill foreseen! Better had I lived ignorant of future, so had borne my part of evil only, each day's lot enough to bear. Those now that were dispensed the burden of many ages on me light at once, by my foreknowledge gaining birth abortive, to torment me ere their being, with thought that they must be. Let no man seek henceforth to be foretold what shall befall him or his children. Evil he may be sure, which neither his foreknowing can prevent. And he the future evil shall no less in apprehension than in substance feel grievous to bear. But that care now is past. Man is not whom to warn. Those few escaped famine and anguish will at last consume wandering that watery desert. I had hope when violence was ceased, and war on earth. All would have then gone well. Peace would have crowned with length of happy days the race of man. But I was far deceived. For now I see peace to corrupt, no less than war to waste. How comes it thus? Unfold, celestial guide, and whether here the race of man will end. To whom thus, Michael, those whom last thou sawst in triumph and luxurious wealth, are they first seen in acts of prowess eminent and great exploits, but of true virtue void, who having spilled much blood and done much waste, subduing nations, and achieved thereby fame in the world, high titles and rich prey, shall change their course to pleasure, ease and sloth, surfeit and lust, till wantonness and pride raise out of friendship hostile deeds in peace. The conquered also and enslaved by war shall with their freedom lost all virtue lose and fear of God, from whom their piety feigned in sharp contest of battle found no aid against invaders. Therefore cooled in zeal, thenceforth shall practice how to live secure, worldly or dissolute, on what their lords shall leave them to enjoy. For the earth shall bear more than enough, that temperance may be tried. So all shall turn degenerate, all depraved, justice and temperance, truth and faith forgot. One man except, the only son of light, in a dark age, against example good, against allurement, custom, and a world offended, fearless of reproach and scorn or violence, he of their wicked ways shall them admonish, and before them set the paths of righteousness, how much more safe and full of peace, denouncing wrath to come on their impenitence, and shall return of them derided, but of God observed the one just man alive. By his command shall build a wondrous ark, as thou beheldst, to save himself and household from amidst a world devote to universal rack. No sooner he with them of man and beast select for life shall in the ark be lodged and sheltered round, but all the cataracts of heaven set open on the earth shall pour rain day and night, all fountains of the deep broke up, shall heave the ocean to usurp beyond all bounds, till inundation rise above the highest hills. Then shall this mount of paradise by might of waves be moved out of his place, pushed by the horned flood, with all his verdure spoiled, and trees adrift, down the great river to the opening gulf, and there take root an island salt and bare, the haunt of seals and orcs and sea-mews clang, to teach thee that God attributes to place no sanctity, if none be thither brought by men who there frequent or therein dwell. And now what further shall ensue? Behold. He looked, and saw the ark hull on the flood, which now abated, for the clouds were fled, driven by a keen north wind that, blowing dry, wrinkled the face of deluge, as decayed, and the clear sun on his wide watery glass gazed hot, and of the fresh wave largely drew as after thirst, which made their flowing shrink from standing lake to tripping ebb, that stole with soft foot towards the deep, who now had stopped his sluices, as the heaven his windows shut. The ark no more now floats, but seems on ground, fast on the top of some high mountain fixed. And now the tops of hills as rocks appear, with clamour thence the rapid currents drive towards the retreating sea their furious ride. Forthwith from out the ark a raven flies, and after him the surer messenger, a dove sent forth once and again to spy green tree or ground whereon his foot may light. The second time returning, in his bill an olive leaf he brings, pacific sign. Anon dry ground appears, and from his ark the ancient sire descends with all his train. Then with uplifted hands and eyes devout, grateful to heaven, over his head beholds a dewy cloud, and in the cloud a bow, conspicuous, with three listed colours gay, betokening peace from God and covenant new, whereat the heart of Adam erst so sad, greatly rejoiced, and thus his joy broke forth. O thou, who future things canst represent as present, heavenly instructor, I revive at this last sight, assured that man shall live with all the creatures, and their seed preserve. Far less I now lament for one whole world of wicked sons destroyed, than I rejoice for one man found so perfect and so just, that God vouchsafes to raise another world from him, and all his anger to forget. But say, what mean those coloured streaks in heaven, distended as the brow of God appeased, or serve they as a flowery verge to bind the fluid skirts of that same watery cloud, lest it again dissolve and shower the earth? To whom the archangel, dexterously thou aim'st, so willingly doth God remit his ire. Though late repenting him of man depraved, grieved at his heart, when looking down he saw the whole earth filled with violence, and all flesh corrupting each their way, yet those removed, such grace shall one just man find in his sight, that he relents, not to blot out mankind, and makes a covenant never to destroy the earth again by flood, nor let the sea surpass his bounds, nor rain to drown the world with man therein or beast, but when he brings over the earth a cloud will therein set his triple-coloured bow, whereon to look and call to mind his covenant, day and night, seed-time and harvest, heat and hoary frost shall hold their course, till fire purge all things new, both heaven and earth, wherein the just shall dwell.
Book 12. The Argument.
The angel Michael continues from the flood to relate what shall succeed. Then, in the mention of Abraham, comes by degrees to explain who that seed of the woman shall be, which was promised Adam and Eve in the fall. His incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension, the state of the church till his second coming. Adam, greatly satisfied and recomforted by these relations and promises, descends the hill with Michael, wakens Eve, who all this while had slept, but with gentle dreams composed to quietness of mind and submission. Michael in either hand leads them out of paradise, the fiery sword waving behind them, and the cherubim taking their stations to guard the place. As one who in his journey baits at noon, though bent on speed, so here the archangel paused, betwixt the world destroyed and world restored, if Adam aught perhaps might interpose, then with transition sweet new speech resumes. Thus thou hast seen one world begin and end, and man as from a second stock proceed. Much thou hast yet to see, but I perceive thy mortal sight to fail. Objects divine must needs impair and weary human sense. Henceforth what is to come I will relate. Thou therefore give due audience and attend. This second source of men, while yet but few, and while the dread of judgment past remains fresh in their minds, fearing the deity, with some regard to what is just and right, shall lead their lives, and multiply apace, labouring the soil, and reaping plenteous crop, corn, wine, and oil, and from the herd or flock, oft sacrificing bullock, lamb, or kid, with large wine offerings poured, and sacred feast, shall spend their days in joy unblamed, and dwell long time in peace by families and tribes under paternal rule, till one shall rise of proud, ambitious heart, who, not content with fair equality, fraternal state, will arrogate dominion undeserved over his brethren, and quite dispossess concord and law of nature from the earth. Hunting, and men not beasts, shall be his game, with war and hostile snare such as refuse subjection to his empire tyrannous. A mighty hunter thence he shall be styled before the Lord, as in despite of heaven, or from heaven claiming second sovereignty, and from rebellion shall derive his name, though of rebellion others he accuse. He with a crew, whom like ambition joins with him or under him to tyrannize, marching from Eden towards the west, shall find the plain wherein a black, bituminous gurge boils out from underground, the mouth of hell. Of brick and of that stuff they cast to build a city and tower whose top may reach to heaven, and get themselves a name, lest far dispersed in foreign lands their memory be lost, regardless whether good or evil fame. But God, who oft descends to visit men unseen, and through their habitations walks to mark their doings, them beholding soon, comes down to see their city ere the tower obstruct heaven towers, and in derision sets upon their tongues a various spirit to raise quite out their native language, and instead to sow a jangling noise of words unknown. Forthwith a hideous gabble rises loud among the builders, each to other calls not understood, till, hoarse and all in rage, as mocked they storm. Great laughter was in heaven, and looking down to see the hubbub strange and hear the din, thus was the building left ridiculous, and the work confusion named. Whereto thus Adam fatherly displeased, O execrable son, so to aspire above his brethren, to himself assuming authority usurped, from God not given, he gave us only over beast, fish, fowl, dominion absolute, that right we hold by his donation, but man over men he made not lord, such title to himself reserving, human left from human free, but this usurper his encroachment proud stays not on man. To God his tower intends siege and defiance. Wretched man, what food will he convey up thither to sustain himself and his rash army, where thin air above the clouds will pine his entrails gross, and famish him of breath, if not of bread? To whom thus Michael, justly thou abhorst that son who on the quiet state of men such trouble brought, affecting to subdue rational liberty, yet know withal, since thy original lapse, true liberty is lost, which always with right reason dwells twinned, and from her hath no individual being. Reason in man obscured or not obeyed, immediately inordinate desires and upstart passions catch the government from reason, and to servitude reduce man till then free. Therefore, since he permits within himself unworthy powers to reign over free reason, God in judgment just subjects him from without to violent lords, who oft as undeservedly enthrall his outward freedom. Tyranny must be, though to the tyrant thereby no excuse. Yet sometimes nations will decline so low from virtue, which is reason, that no wrong but justice and some fatal curse annexed deprives them of their outward liberty, their inward lost. Witness the irreverent son of him who built the ark, who for the shame done to his father heard this heavy curse, servant of servants, on his vicious race. Thus will this latter, as the former world, still tend from bad to worse, till God at last, wearied with their iniquities, withdraw his presence from among them, and avert his holy eyes, resolving from thenceforth to leave them to their own polluted ways, and one peculiar nation to select from all the rest, of whom to be invoked, a nation from one faithful man to spring, him on this side Euphrates yet residing, bred up in idol worship. O, that men, canst thou believe, should be so stupid grown, while yet the patriarch lived who scaped the flood, as to forsake the living God, and fall to worship their own work in wood and stone, for gods. Yet him God the Most High vouchsafes to call by vision from his father's house, his kindred and false gods, into a land which he will show him, and from him will raise a mighty nation, and upon him shower his benediction so, that in his seed all nations shall be blessed. He straight obeys, not knowing to what land, yet firm believes. I see him, but thou canst not, with what faith he leaves his gods, his friends, and native soil, Ur of Chaldea, passing now the ford to Haran, after him a cumbrous train of herds and flocks and numerous servitude, not wandering poor, but trusting all his wealth with God, who called him in a land unknown. Canaan he now attains. I see his tents pitched about Shechem, and the neighbouring plain of Moreh. There by promise he receives gift to his progeny of all that land, from Hamath northward to the desert south, things by their names I call, though yet unnamed, from Hermon east to the great western sea, Mount Hermon, yonder sea, each place behold in prospect as I point them, on the shore Mount Carmel, here the double-founted stream Jordan, true limit eastward. But his sons shall dwell to Senia, that long ridge of hills. This ponder, that all nations of the earth shall in his seed be blessed. By that seed is meant thy great deliverer, who shall bruise the serpent's head, whereof to thee anon plainlier shall be revealed. This patriarch, blessed, whom faithful Abraham due time shall call a son, and of his son a grandchild leaves, like him in faith, in wisdom and renown. The grandchild with 12 sons increased departs from Canaan to a land hereafter called Egypt, divided by the river Nile, see where it flows, disgorging at 7 mouths into the sea. To sojourn in that land he comes invited by a younger son in time of dearth, a son whose worthy deeds raise him to be the second in that realm of Pharaoh. There he dies and leaves his race growing into a nation, and now grown suspected to a sequent king, who seeks to stop their overgrowth, as inmate guests too numerous, whence of guests he makes them slaves inhospitably, and kills their infant males, till by 2 brethren, those 2 brethren call Moses and Aaron, sent from God to claim his people from enthrallment, they return with glory and spoil back to their promised land. But first the lawless tyrant, who denies to know their God, or message to regard, must be compelled by signs and judgments dire. To blood unshed the rivers must be turned, frogs, lice, and flies must all his palace fill with loathed intrusion, and fill all the land. His cattle must of rot and murrain die, botches and blains must all his flesh emboss, and all his people. Thunder mixed with hail, hail mixed with fire must rend the Egyptian sky, and wheel on the earth, devouring where it rolls. What it devours not, herb or fruit or grain, a darksome cloud of locusts swarming down must eat, and on the ground leave nothing green. Darkness must overshadow all his bounds, palpable darkness, and blot out 3 days. Last, with 1 midnight stroke, all the firstborn of Egypt must lie dead. Thus with 10 wounds the river dragon tamed at length submits to let his sojourners depart, and oft humbles his stubborn heart, but still as ice, more hardened after thaw, till in his rage, pursuing whom he late dismissed, the sea swallows him with his host, but them lets pass as on dry land between two crystal walls, awed by the rod of Moses so to stand divided till his rescued gain their shore. Such wondrous power God to his saint will lend, though present in his angel, who shall go before them in a cloud and pillar of fire, by day a cloud, by night a pillar of fire, to guide them in their journey, and remove behind them while the obdurate king pursues. All night he will pursue, but his approach darkness defends between till morning watch. Then through the fiery pillar and the cloud God looking forth will trouble all his host and craze their chariot wheels, when by command Moses once more his potent rod extends over the sea. The sea his rod obeys, on their embattled ranks the waves return and overwhelm their war. The race elect safe towards Canaan from the shore advance through the wild desert, not the readiest way, lest entering on the Canaanite alarmed war terrify them inexpert, and fear return them back to Egypt, choosing rather inglorious life with servitude. For life to noble and ignoble is more sweet, untrained in arms, where rashness leads not on. This also shall they gain by their delay in the wild wilderness. There they shall found their government, and their great senate choose through the 12 tribes to rule by laws ordained. God from the Mount of Sinai, whose grey top shall tremble, he descending will himself in thunder, lightning, and loud trumpet's sound ordain them laws, part such as appertain to civil justice, part religious rites of sacrifice, informing them by types and shadows of that destined seed to bruise the serpent, by what means he shall achieve mankind's deliverance. But the voice of God to mortal ear is dreadful. They beseech that Moses might report to them his will, and terror cease. He grants what they besought, instructed that God is no access without mediator, whose high office now Moses in figure bears, to introduce one greater, of whose day he shall foretell, and all the prophets in their age the times of great Messiah shall sing. Thus laws and rites established, such delight hath God in men obedient to his will, that he vouchsafes among them to set up his tabernacle, the Holy One with mortal men to dwell. By his prescript a sanctuary is framed of cedar overlaid with gold, therein an ark, and in the ark his testimony, the records of his covenant, over these a mercy seat of gold between the wings of two bright cherubim. Before him burn 7 lamps as in a zodiac, representing the heavenly fires. Over the tent a cloud shall rest by day, a fiery gleam by night, save when they journey, and at length they come, conducted by his angel, to the land promised to Abraham and his seed. The rest were long to tell how many battles fought, how many kings destroyed and kingdoms won, or how the sun shall in mid-heaven stand still a day entire, and night's due course adjourn, man's voice commanding, sun in Gibeon stand, and thou moon in the vale of Ayalon, till Israel overcome. So call the third from Abraham, son of Isaac, and from him his whole descent, who thus shall Canaan win. Here Adam interposed. O sent from heaven, enlightener of my darkness, gracious things thou hast revealed, those chiefly which concern just Abraham and his seed. Now first I find mine eyes true opening, and my heart much eased, erewhile perplexed with thoughts what would become of me and all mankind. But now I see his day, in whom all nations shall be blessed, favour unmerited by me, who sought forbidden knowledge by forbidden means. This yet I apprehend not, why to those among whom God will deign to dwell on earth so many and so various laws are given. So many laws argue so many sins among them. How can God with such reside? To whom thus Michael, doubt not but that sin will reign among them, as of thee begot, and therefore was law given them to evince their natural pravity, by stirring up sin against law to fight, that when they see law can discover sin but not remove, save by those shadowy expiations weak, the blood of bulls and goats, they may conclude some blood more precious must be paid for man, just for unjust, that in such righteousness to them by faith imputed they may find justification towards God, and peace of conscience, which the law by ceremonies cannot appease, nor man the moral part perform, and not performing cannot live. So law appears imperfect, and but given with purpose to resign them in full time up to a better covenant, disciplined from shadowy types to truth, from flesh to spirit, from imposition of strict laws to free acceptance of large grace, from servile fear to filial, works of law to works of faith. And therefore shall not Moses, though of God highly beloved, being but the minister of law, his people into Canaan lead, but Joshua, whom the Gentiles Jesus call, his name and office bearing, who shall quell the adversary serpent, and bring back through the world's wilderness long-wandered man safe to eternal paradise of rest. Meanwhile they in their earthly Canaan placed long time shall dwell and prosper. But when sins national interrupt their public peace, provoking God to raise them enemies, from whom as oft he saves them penitent, by judges first, then under kings, of whom the second both for piety renowned and puissant deeds a promise shall receive irrevocable, that his regal throne for ever shall endure. The like shall sing all prophecy, that of the royal stock of David, so I name this king, shall rise a son, a woman's seed to thee foretold, foretold to Abraham, as in whom shall trust all nations, and to kings foretold, of kings the last, for of his reign shall be no end. But first a long succession must ensue, and his next son for wealth and wisdom famed, the clouded ark of God till then in tents, wandering, shall in a glorious temple enshrine. Such follow him as shall be registered part good, part bad, of bad the longer scroll, whose foul idolatries and other fault heaped to the popular sum will so incense God as to leave them and expose their land, their city, his temple, and his holy ark, with all his sacred things, a scorn and prey to that proud city, whose high walls thou sawst left in confusion, Babylon thence called. There in captivity he lets them dwell the space of 70 years, then brings them back, remembering mercy and his covenant sworn to David, established as the days of heaven. Returned from Babylon by leave of kings, their lords whom God disposed, the house of God they first re-edify, and for a while in mean estate live moderate, till grown in wealth and multitude factious they grow. But first among the priests dissension springs, men who attend the altar and should most endeavour peace. Their strife pollution brings upon the temple itself. At last they seize the sceptre and regard not David's sons, then lose it to a stranger that the true anointed king Messiah might be born barred of his right. Yet at his birth a star unseen before in heaven proclaims him come, and guides the eastern sages, who inquire his place to offer incense, myrrh, and gold. His place of birth a solemn angel tells to simple shepherds, keeping watch by night. They gladly thither haste, and by a choir of squadroned angels hear his carol sung. A virgin is his mother, but his sire the power of the Most High. He shall ascend the throne hereditary, and bound his reign with earth's wide bounds, his glory with the heavens. He ceased, discerning Adam with such joy surcharged, as had like grief been dewed in tears, without the vent of words which these he breathed. O prophet of glad tidings, finisher of utmost hope, now clear I understand what oft my steadiest thoughts have searched in vain, why our great expectation should be called the seed of woman, virgin mother, hail! High in the love of heaven, yet from my loins thou shalt proceed, and from thy womb the Son of God Most High. So God with man unites. Needs must the serpent now his capital bruise expect with mortal pain. Say where and when their fight, what stroke shall bruise the victor's heel? To whom thus Michael, dream not of their fight, as of a duel, or the local wounds of head or heel, not therefore joins the Son, manhood to Godhead, with more strength to foil the enemy, nor so is overcome Satan, whose fall from heaven, a deadlier bruise, disabled not to give thee thy death's wound, which he who comes thy Saviour shall recure, not by destroying Satan, but his works in thee and in thy seed, nor can this be but by fulfilling that which thou didst want, obedience to the law of God, imposed on penalty of death, and suffering death, the penalty to thy transgression due, and due to theirs which out of thine will grow, so only can high justice rest apaid. The law of God exact he shall fulfil, both by obedience and by love, though love alone fulfil the law. Thy punishment he shall endure by coming in the flesh to a reproachful life and cursed death, proclaiming life to all who shall believe in his redemption, and that his obedience imputed becomes theirs by faith, his merits to save them, not their own, though legal works. For this he shall live hated, be blasphemed, seized on by force, judged and to death condemned, a shameful and accursed, nailed to the cross by his own nation, slain for bringing life. But to the cross he nails thy enemies, the law that is against thee, and the sins of all mankind with him there crucified, never to hurt them more who rightly trust in this his satisfaction. So he dies, but soon revives. Death over him no power shall long usurp. Ere the third dawning light return, the stars of morn shall see him rise out of his grave, fresh as the dawning light, thy ransom paid which man from death redeems. His death for man as many as offered life neglect not, and the benefit embrace by faith not void of works. This godlike act annuls thy doom, the death thou shouldst have died in sin forever lost from life. This act shall bruise the head of Satan, crush his strength, defeating sin and death his two main arms, and fix far deeper in his head their stings than temporal death shall bruise the victor's heel, or theirs whom he redeems, a death-like sleep, a gentle wafting to immortal life. Nor after resurrection shall he stay longer on earth than certain times to appear to his disciples, men who in his life still followed him. To them shall leave in charge to teach all nations what of him they learned and his salvation, them who shall believe baptizing in the profluent stream, the sign of washing them from guilt of sin to life pure, and in mind prepared, if so befall, for death like that which the Redeemer died. All nations they shall teach, for from that day not only to the sons of Abraham's loins salvation shall be preached, but to the sons of Abraham's faith wherever through the world. So in his seed all nations shall be blessed. Then to the heaven of heavens he shall ascend, with victory triumphing through the air over his foes and thine. There shall surprise the serpent, prince of air, and drag in chains through all his realm, and there confounded leave. Then enter into glory, and resume his seat at God's right hand, exalted high above all names in heaven. And thence shall come, when this world's dissolution shall be ripe, with glory and power to judge both quick and dead, to judge the unfaithful dead, but to reward his faithful, and receive them into bliss, whether in heaven or earth. For then the earth shall all be paradise, far happier place than this of Eden, and far happier days. So spake the archangel Michael, then paused, as at the world's great period, and our sire, replete with joy and wonder, thus replied, O goodness infinite, goodness immense, that all this good of evil shall produce, and evil turn to good, more wonderful than that which by creation first brought forth light out of darkness. Full of doubt I stand, whether I should repent me now of sin by me done and occasioned, or rejoice much more, that much more good thereof shall spring. To God more glory, more good will to men from God, and over wrath grace shall abound. But say, if our deliverer up to heaven must reascend, what will betide the few his faithful, left among the unfaithful herd, the enemies of truth? Who then shall guide his people, who defend? Will they not deal worse with his followers than with him they dealt? Be sure they will, said the angel, but from heaven he to his own a comforter will send, the promise of the Father, who shall dwell his Spirit within them, and the law of faith working through love upon their hearts shall write, to guide them in all truth, and also arm with spiritual armour, able to resist Satan's assaults, and quench his fiery darts. What man can do against them, not afraid, though to the death, against such cruelties, with inward consolations recompensed, and oft supported so as shall amaze their proudest persecutors, for the Spirit poured first on his apostles, whom he sends to evangelize the nations, then on all baptized, shall them with wondrous gifts endue to speak all tongues, and do all miracles, as did their Lord before them. Thus they win great numbers of each nation to receive with joy the tidings brought from heaven. At length their ministry performed, and race well run, their doctrine and their story written left, they die, But in their room, as they forewarn, wolves shall succeed for teachers, grievous wolves, who all the sacred mysteries of heaven to their own vile advantages shall turn, of lucre and ambition, and the truth with superstitions and traditions taint, left only in those written records pure, though not but by the spirit understood. Then shall they seek to avail themselves of names, places, and titles, and with these to join secular power, though feigning still to act by spiritual, to themselves appropriating the Spirit of God, promised alike and given to all believers. And from that pretence, spiritual laws by carnal power shall force on every conscience, laws which none shall find left them enrolled, or what the Spirit within shall on the heart engrave. What will they then but force the Spirit of grace itself, and bind his consort liberty? What but unbuild his living temples, built by faith to stand, their own faith not another's? For on earth, who against faith and conscience can be heard infallible? Yet many will presume, whence heavy persecution shall arise on all who in the worship persevere of spirit and truth. The rest, far greater part, will deem in outward rites and specious forms religion satisfied. Truth shall retire, bestuck with slanderous darts, and works of faith rarely be found. So shall the world go on, to good malignant, to bad men benign, under her own weight groaning, till the day appear of respiration to the just, and vengeance to the wicked, at return of him so lately promised to thy aid, the woman's seed, obscurely then foretold, now amplier known, thy Saviour and thy Lord, last in the clouds from heaven to be revealed in glory of the Father, to dissolve Satan with his perverted world, then raise from the conflagrant mass, purged and refined, new heavens, new earth, ages of endless date founded in righteousness and peace and love, to bring forth fruits, joy, and eternal bliss. He ended. And thus Adam last replied, "How soon hath thy prediction, seer blessed, measured this transient world, the race of time, till time stand fixed? Beyond is all abyss, eternity, whose end no eye can reach. Greatly instructed I shall hence depart, greatly in peace of thought, and have my fill of knowledge, what this vessel can contain, beyond which was my folly to aspire. Henceforth I learn that to obey is best, and love with fear the only God, to walk as in presence, ever to observe his providence, and on him sole depend. Merciful over all his works, with good still overcoming evil, and by small accomplishing great things, by things deemed weak subverting worldly strong, and worldly wise by simply meek, that suffering for truth's sake is fortitude to highest victory, and to the faithful death the gate of life. Taught this by his example, whom I now acknowledge my Redeemer ever blessed." To whom thus also the angel last replied, "This having learned, thou hast attained the sum of wisdom. Hope no higher, though all the stars thou knewest by name, and all the ethereal powers, or secrets of the deep, or nature's works, or works of God in heaven, air, earth, or sea, and all the riches of this world enjoyedst, and all the rule, one empire, only add deeds to thy knowledge answerable, add faith, add virtue, patience, temperance, add love, by name to come called charity, the soul of all the rest. Then wilt thou not be loath to leave this paradise, but shalt possess a paradise within thee, happier far. Let us descend now, therefore, from this top of speculation. For the hour precise exacts our parting hence, and see the guards by me encamped on yonder hill, expect their motion, at whose front a flaming sword, in signal of remove, waves fiercely round. We may no longer stay. Go, waken Eve. Her also I with gentle dreams have calmed, portending good, and all her spirits composed to meek submission. Thou at season fit, let her with thee partake what thou hast heard, chiefly what may concern her faith to know, the great deliverance by her seed to come, for by the woman's seed, on all mankind. That ye may live, which will be many days, both in one faith unanimous though sad, with cause for evils past, yet much more cheered with meditation on the happy end." He ended, and they both descend the hill. Descended Adam to the bower where Eve lay sleeping, ran before, but found her waked, and thus with words not sad she him received. whence thou returnest, and whither wentest I know. For God is also in sleep, and dreams advise, which he hath sent propitious, some great good presaging, since with sorrow and heart's distress wearied I fell asleep. But now lead on, in me is no delay, with thee to go is to stay here, without thee here to stay is to go hence unwilling. Thou to me art all things under heaven, all places thou, who for my wilful crime art banished hence. This further consolation yet secure I carry hence, though all by me is lost. Such favour I unworthy am vouchsafed. By me the promised seed shall all restore. So spake our mother Eve, and Adam heard well pleased, but answered not. For now too nigh the archangel stood, and from the other hill to their fixed station all in bright array the cherubim descended, on the ground gliding meteorous, as evening mist risen from a river o'er the marish glides, and gathers ground fast at the labourer's heel homeward returning. High in front advanced, the brandished sword of God before them blazed fierce as a comet, which with torrid heat and vapour as the Libyan air adust began to parch that temperate clime, whereat in either hand the hastening angel caught our lingering parents, and to the eastern gate led them direct, and down the cliff as fast to the subjected plain, then disappeared. They, looking back, all the eastern side beheld of paradise, so late their happy seat, waved over by that flaming brand, the gate with dreadful faces thronged and fiery arms. Some natural tears they dropped, but wiped them soon. The world was all before them, where to choose their place of rest, and Providence their guide. They hand in hand with wandering steps and slow, through Eden took their solitary way. This concludes Paradise Lost. Please visit our website, www.tantor.com, for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers, or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalogue.